This is Grit and Glitter for Tuesday, May 24th, 2022, coming out of the long weekend. Happy Memorial Day, Emily.
Oh, but it's not Memorial Day until next week.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, at last Monday of the month, Memorial Day in the United States of America.
Oh, okay, because we have a long weekend in May as well. Our long weekend was this weekend. I always thought they lined up. Like, Labor Day is the same for both of us, I think.
I mean, it's possible that sometimes they do, but wait, what is yours?
Yesterday, here in the great country of Canada, it was Victoria Day.
Woohoo!
Yes, in honor of her Royal Highness, Queen Victoria. May she rest in peace these late nigh 121 years.
Wait, so this isn't a day to honor Victoria Beckham?
No, that's July, I want to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a separate one.
Posh Day, got it.
Yes, This one is all about Queen Victoria. She was, I don't know. I'm going to say maybe she was Queen Elizabeth's mom? Queen Elizabeth's great-grandmother? I don't know. Don't ask me about that stuff. They're in charge of our country still, technically, but I don't know any of that.
What's her importance to Canada? Just she's like royal and that's a big deal?
Maybe she was in charge when we became a country?
Ah.
Is this speculation on my part? I don't have time to look any of this up, and they don't teach us this in school.
So we have, in the States, we have just blanket President's Day. And that's like, okay, we're going to honor presidents. And kind of. Like, I know that it's specifically kind of geared towards the founding fathers and, like, specific presidents who have, like, a little bit more legacy to their name than others. But in general, it's President's Day.
If you're, like, a big Woodrow Wilson stan, you can celebrate, honor him that day.
It's the day to celebrate, like, James K. Polk and Harry Truman and all of our favorite forgotten sons. But more to the point, do you guys have, like, I feel like Canada should have, like, a royal day. Like, you have Victoria Day, but, like, why not just, like, because you do have a monarchy that is kind of still in charge of you or oversees you, shouldn't there just be, like, Royals Day?
Well, so it's officially, technically, in all the books, it is Victoria Day. It is the Monday in May preceding May 24th, which was Victoria's birthday. Sometimes it falls on May 24th. Usually it's the May 24th long weekend. So colloquially, it's known throughout Canada as May 24. Not so much Victoria Day. You hear people more say, hey, what are you doing for May 24? Because it's May 24th long weekend, and 24, like a 2-4 of beer.
Ooh.
A nice 24 case of Molson Canadian. What are you doing for May 24? You going to the cottage? Put another dock? Getting the cottage ready for the summer? Put on some hip?
Well, okay, so what did you do for your May 24?
I watched a brand new all women's promotion founded by Maria Kanellis Bennett and Bobby Cruz entitled Women's Wrestling Army.
Oh, really? Oh, this is the first time I'm hearing about it. Not. I watched that too. Ah!
This is Glitter and Glitter, a weekly podcast dedicated to the power of women's wrestling. My name is Harley R. Padgett. I'm up here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. She's down there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
That's right, where the temperature has finally mellowed out for a couple of days. We went from cold to hot to hotter to 91 degrees, and then we shot back down the thermostat, and we're at a comfortable, like, 60. And I feel weird. My body can't adjust to anything for long enough. You know, when in this constant flux, I wake up every morning with kind of like a craggy throat and think, oh, that's it, COVID. And no, it's just my body not adjusting to the constant temperature fluctuations.
Yeah, it was scorching here for a couple of days there, like t-shirt, shorts, hang out in the shade. Then Saturday, massive thunderstorms hit the province, and our electricity went out from 1 p.m. Saturday until 4:30 in the morning the next day. That's the longest it's been for a long, long, long time. You know, power goes out. It was my day off. I'm like, oh, I've got so much wrestling I'm going to watch. I've got, like, things I'm going to do on the internet. I'm going to prep for the next month of Grit and Glitter. I'm going to listen to some music. And the power goes out. And 4 hours later, my laptop's dead. My battery's on 10%. I've read all my library books. And I'm just wandering from room to room going, what do I do with myself? I can't even make food. I can't use the oven. I can't use the microwave.
Oh, no. Happy Victoria Day weekend to you.
Yes, I read my driving instructor manual, trying to get my driver's license in the next year.
Hey!
And I ate some potato chips because that was the only food in the house that didn't require cooking.
We've never had an outage that long. We had one not that long ago that was a couple hours. It hit like right in the middle of like our bedtime ritual, like our pre-bedtime routine. And that was annoying because it threw our kid off. But it did, I think the power came back on a couple hours later. But yeah, not a great thing for your 3-day weekend. Well, I'm glad your power's back on.
Yeah,
I'm
eventually we figured out that because the lights are on in the apartment hallway, the electrical outlets in the hallway for the vacuum cleaners also worked. And so I did spend about 3 hours late in the evening sitting in the hallway with the door propped open, my phone plugged into the hallway, just scrolling on Twitter, hanging out with my elderly next-door neighbors who were knitting and playing solitaire on their iPad.
That's amazing. I'm so glad that you guys got to like find some solidarity during that outage.
Yeah, that's some bonding time in the only lit room in the building.
In the hallway where people connect and convene.
That was Saturday. And then Sunday, Women's Wrestling Army Episode 1 finally dropped. It's available through their Brand Army page. Maria talked about this when we had her on the show a couple weeks ago. Brand Army is... It's basically like Patreon. I don't really know what the big difference is between the two. It's just a different site.
Yeah, I think it's just another way for people to distribute directly. As far as I can tell, it does look like you can have like a more full-fledged site on Brand Army as opposed to what a lot of the Patreons look like. So that might be part of the attraction.
Like OnlyFans, they have it built in where you can like tip individual posts. Things like that. Like if you really like this photo or this video that people posted, you can donate to that post directly.
Yeah, precisely. So I think that there's some advantages there. It doesn't have, you know, obviously this type of thing probably wouldn't be as catchy if it was on OnlyFans. So something like Brand Army is a good option in that way. The structure of this is very intriguing to me because it is subscription based. You have to pay right off the bat to get access to the episodes. You have to pay monthly. What I'm curious about, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, but what is the attraction to subscribe for someone to subscribe right now? You know, like we subscribe because we want to cover it. We want to talk about it. We want to be in the know, but like an average viewer, like why subscribe right now this month? If you're not sure how many episodes you're going to get, would it make more sense to like wait for a little while, allow a back catalog to build up a bit, and then subscribe?
Yeah, I've got a lot of question marks there because there's still been very little information released about the future of Women's Wrestling Army. How many episodes we're going to get, how often we're going to get them, what other kinds of content we're going to get on the page, that sort of thing. Currently, they're asking for a certain amount of trust up front or just like hoping people get on board. Excitement just based on the premise. Like, look at all the wrestlers who are involved. That's your selling point. Hey, isn't that great? But I feel that it's not enough for a lot of people. I mean, our teammate, one of our teammates was live at the tapings for this set of episodes, and they said that it was fairly thin in the arena as well, which kind of reflected on camera for this first episode. And we said at the time that that might be largely in part because there were no matches announced for this first Women's Wrestling Army show. There were wrestlers, but there were no matches. There wasn't a ton of selling points or hype going into it, I guess. And that maybe might have been the reason why the crowd doesn't really reflect it on this first episode.
Yeah, I mean, take this first episode. Take these two matches. Miranda Alizé versus Lainey Luck and Trish Adora versus Big Swole. I feel like Trish Adora versus Big Swole alone would have prompted some people to make the time and money investment in being there, let alone everyone else listed on the card. So like, if there had been some formal match announcements, I feel like that problem might have been a little bit lessened. But I also know that this was coming following a WWR show. So it could have been the fact that like people went to that and it kind of split the crowd a little bit because not everyone wants to do a doubleheader. It makes for a very long time in a one venue, very long day. I don't know, but I also get why that is a good shared resource, and it's important for promotions to be able to work together, especially when it's someone working with a new, brand new fledgling promotion like Women's Wrestling Army. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that the thin crowd for the live show is going to hurt this necessarily. I'm never too upset if the crowd is not that thick, but it definitely... It's going to be curious to me as we see these episodes and how, I mean, depending on how these matches have been arranged, because it's not clear that these are being presented chronologically in how they were filmed. I'll be curious to see how the energy, what the energy does in the crowd. Because I felt like for a small crowd, these matches had a fair amount of crowd energy, had a fair amount of enthusiasm coming from the crowd. So I don't think the people who were there were clearly into it. I'm curious how that maintains throughout the entirety of the show.
Yeah, so let's dive into the first episode first, and then we'll talk about the future and questions, concerns, that sort of thing at the end, maybe. So episode one, entitled The Journey, begins. I've said on past episodes, I love episodic wrestling. I love that we've got like episode titles. I love that we had, they're very, very good with their branding, clearly, right? They got the pink and the black ring ropes. Maria's got her pink outfit to match the ring and match the backdrops and all those.
The chair, the pink chair.
Their little backdrop for the interviews and photos arrived. When we were talking to her, she was afraid that it wasn't going to get there in time, but it was there. It looked pretty nice.
It looked great. No, I really did appreciate the attention to aesthetics here. I like the fact that they have chosen like branding colors and that they're really like, that's something that a professional like Maria does bring to the table, that like this had a step up in that direction. Like how many independent shows do you go to or see that don't really have a clear like visual presence? Women's Wrestling Army has established itself pretty quickly in that way. And I think that that's a smart move.
So we open in the ring. We've got our commentators, Alyssa Marino and Lenny Leonard, on commentary. I'm fairly familiar with both of them. Leonard's been around many, many, many years. Most recently was doing some guest work for the ROH Women's Championship Tournament. Alyssa Marino is newer to commentary, I want to say. She's probably only been around a couple years.
Yeah, but I find them both delightful. They had a really nice, comfortable tone and balance. I think that they worked really well together.
So I did a written report on this show for the Pro Wrestling Torch. Just wanted to do whatever little bit I can to get more people hearing about the product and getting excited about it. And Marino especially was really helpful for me in that regard because she had all the names for the, you know, for everybody's like branded moves. Like she told me what Lainey Luck calls her Death Valley Driver and what Miranda calls her Crossface, things like that. You know, she's like, oh, that's the Death Valley Party. That's the Miranda Rites. I don't know those things offhand necessarily. I know the big moves. I know Larry Tubman, things like that. But some of these other ones, I wouldn't be able to have that sort of thing. So they were very helpful for me.
No, I thought they did both stellar work on commentary for the matches. I thought it was nice and clear. I feel like they had a good understanding of the people in the ring while not like overdoing it as far as that goes, because that can be kind of a little bit overbearing whenever you have a commentary dump on a wrestler's background or their abilities or their ring moves and everything. I think it was a nice balance. I find Marina so pleasant on mic. I think she's great on commentary. Leonard is a professional icon in this, and especially with women's wrestling at this point. But I like that we had like a newer person and a vet on mic. I thought it gave us a good balance.
I'm never usually a fan of three-person booths. I usually like just having the two people having a conversation. But I will say the one thing that was missing for me a little is I love when you have an ex-wrestler on commentary, someone like William Regal or someone like a Caprice Coleman, who can A, speak to the moves themselves. Regal, when he was in NXT like 7-8 years ago, was great at this. He'd be like, oh, you see what he's doing right there? That takes the wind out of you. That makes it hard to breathe. You can't breathe. You can't do this. You can't do anything. Really telling the kayfabe logic behind these moves. Or having someone who has been in the ring with a lot of these competitors. Having someone like a Veda Scott on commentary, who's probably been in the ring with Lainey, probably been in the ring with Big Swole, and can speak to that. Can speak to, like, oh, I've gone up against Swole, and let me tell you, from a personal standpoint, her advantages are this and this. It's really hard. You got to watch for this. You got to whatever. That kind of stuff I love. That's the only thing that I feel like we were missing from commentary.
Yeah, I could use her a little bit more color. I feel it was pretty straightforward. It would have been nice to have a offset voice like that, or, you know, even someone kind of playing more of a heel commentary, and I would have been cool with that as well. It'd be nice if in this series or in future episodes we see wrestlers who are on the roster making appearances on the mic, because that's always an easy way to do that while not having to have a extra presence without, you know, the means to the without the added context. So, like, say you have a future match in these episodes and Miranda Alizé is on commentary or whomever. Like, I think that there's probably wrestlers who could benefit from that mic time, and you see that well utilized in other promotions. It's a good thing to consider for women's wrestling because it doesn't happen as much.
Yeah, that's an easy way to set up feuds too. You have Miranda just guesting on commentary. You know, you don't even need necessarily a reason. You just have her be like, she requested to be on commentary for this match, and then she spends the entire match talking shit about Trish Adora. Setting up a showdown down the road.
It's super simple. It's booking 101. It's in that, like, very, like, easy template of, like, how to establish dynamics. And there's not enough independent promotions, especially women's wrestling, that do this. I think it's really smart when they do, because it's just right there. It's sitting there. And you set up a future match. You build that with, like, a couple little, you know, promos that are shot here and there. Boom. You got a story.
So that's another thing that I especially loved about this show compared to a lot of other shows that I watch. We had 9, including Marino, we had 9 different women get mic time on this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that they wanted to make these, from Maria and from everything we'd read on, you know, with the press releases, that, like, we understood that there was going to be a documentary feel to this, that there was also going to be segments beyond what we were seeing in the ring. I didn't anticipate seeing that in the very first episode, at least as far as, like, you know, with Alyssa Edwards is, like, with her segment. But it was really cool to get to see a mix of that. I think it broke it up nicely.
So Maria welcomes us to the show, gives a little hype up speech. This is where the journey begins. And then we got our opening theme song, which is from, did you know Maria Kanellis released her own EP back in 2010?
I did not, but how could I possibly doubt that? I feel like she has done everything.
Yes, and that is our opening theme, is the title track from that EP, Seven Sins. That was Maria singing in the opening theme song there. And then we go right away to these sit-down interviews with Miranda Alizé and Lainey Luck, the competitors in the first match. You know, right away, it reminds me of Stardom, where you hear from every wrestler ahead of every match. They always get their screen time talking to the camera. But Stardom, it's very much more like kayfabe promos, talking about, like, their issues in the past, their match problems in the ring, this sort of thing. Miranda, who we start with, very straightforward. It's like she's, like, doing a job interview. I've been wrestling 10 years. I'm 27. I work as a physical therapist in my day job. It was interesting.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say I didn't like it. I think this is a style that is very common now in a lot of the way that sports in general is presented. You know,
yeah.
This is very.
I don't watch UFC or anything like that, so I don't have those reference points.
I'm not even thinking of UFC. I'm thinking of things like the Olympics, where this became a really common thing with the Olympics. It's like they would show. They would show some of the events that the Olympians were involved in, but a lot of it became these package deals of, like, here's an Olympian and we're going to learn about their backstory a little bit. And then we're going to maybe, like, go to their heat in this race or whatever. And that became, like, a really big part of how sports has been presented in the last, like, decade. So it's something we still don't see a ton with wrestling. I don't hate it. I like it. It was great to get to spend time with these wrestlers, obviously. But I think there's a limit to what you can do in wrestling with that type of format, you know? And I don't know how well it marries for me, but that isn't to say that I wasn't compelled by these segments. I did want to hear. I do think these segments were kind of interesting too, because not everyone went about it the same way. Miranda and Lainey were very much in like backstory mode, and so was Trisha Dora, but Big Swole really wasn't. Big Swole was kind of more in your traditional promo style. So it's gonna vary in tone based on who the wrestler is. It seems like there's no like set, there's no set template for how these little segments go. I didn't dislike it. It was cool to get to know Miranda Alize's background a bit more. It was cool to see her be so candid, especially because like she had such an interesting year with ROH and with Maria that it was cool to have her speak what felt more candidly about that in her segment. I just don't know how well you do this on the long term, right? Like, I don't know. WOW does this, or at least they did for a while. WOW did these type of like kind of segments early on when they got a television deal. They were doing these like, but they were way more like exaggerated in the like, I had a learning disability when I was a child and it made me the fighter I am. And like, it's bigger dealt. This was much more low key, which I did appreciate.
With Swole's interview later on, you could definitely tell which leading questions she had been asked off camera, because she was responding to the questions in the way of like, what brings me here? What brings me here is, and what makes me stand out? What drives me? Those kind of questions. The Miranda and Lainey ones, yeah, I would have liked a little bit more of a kayfabe from Miranda, I think, because she's such a strong heel. We see this in the match. We've seen it in past appearances in ROH. She's very straightforward here. There's nothing particularly unlikable about her and her sit-down.
I want to root for her.
Lainey, I think, married the two a little bit better, because she was still telling, like, talking about herself as a person, but then she also put a little bit of that kayfabe in. She was saying, like, oh, Miranda and I have wrestled each other for many years. We don't like each other. I've got more heart than her. That sort of thing. And that felt more like, oh, she's doing, like, more of a traditional promo, which I think is advantageous going forward.
I think Lainey understood the assignment a little bit better than Miranda, that sounds really harsh. But I think she maybe did this in a way that audiences kind of need that for storytelling purposes. I really liked her being like, we have met in the ring before, but Miranda hasn't seen like Lucha Lainey. Like, she hasn't seen that side of me. And that was enticing going into the match, because I'm like, ooh, okay, I'm going to see her like pull out the Lucha stuff. That's like, that's exciting to see, because I don't know if I know Lucha Lainey luck. So like that was a good selling point. It was a nice way to segue into the actual match. I was compelled by both segments. I just think that Lainey's did more to serve the wrestling match we were going to see after these promos.
Yeah. The thing is, we're viewing all this through, this is the first episode from a first promotion. And so we don't know what we'll talk about this more later on, I'm sure, but we don't really know what the target demographic is, who they think or who they expect to be watching this. If this was on something like YouTube, I'd expect they're really trying to reach new people. Like, Enjoy is on YouTube, really trying to reach people who don't traditionally watch wrestling, who maybe have never seen wrestling before. This seems like it's probably, the people who are watching this are probably people who are already fans of all the women, or probably already pretty familiar with all the women on the roster like us, maybe with one or two exceptions. So, yeah. But I've seen Lainey Luck many places. I don't think I've heard her speak before this.
That's a good question. I'm not sure I have heard her speak. Yeah, I think I have a little bit. I think I've seen shows where we have seen promo of hers.
I think. That's not a strong selling point.
But also, I have a terrible memory, Harley. So, like, I couldn't tell you if I spoke last week, let alone Lainey Luck. So that's not a read on her or anything I've seen her do. My memory is just complete shit. So,
but yeah, for like a first episode, this is our first impression, our first introduction to these women. I'm okay with this. I'm like, okay, we got a sense of who Miranda Alizé is outside the ring. Now, next time she does one of these, she'll have to go somewhere new because she's already told all this, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to pick on this segment too much because I do think straight out the gate, they understand what they're delivering in a way that's very, very confident and promising. I think there's a ceiling to the more straightforward storytelling. So I think you're right. The next time we see Miranda in one of these segments, I want to see where that direction goes. Do we get more kayfabe element? Do we get a direct response to her match with Lainey? Like, I want to see that build. But I have a feeling watching this, like, they're giving me everything to believe that that will happen.
You know what? I'm a big fan of Miranda. I don't think I know why she wears a mask to the ring but takes it off before the match.
I mean,
like, what's the significance of that? Where did that come from? How did that start?
I mean, it's wrestling, so there might not be significance.
Give me a kayfabe reason. You know?
Make one up. I mean, it would be cool. It would be very cool. I think with what is intriguing to me with Women's Wrestling Army, especially these early episodes, is that there are so many women on the card who I'm interested in seeing, and I want to see them in fresh matchups. And I think given the documentary format and the segments that they're doing, this is an opportunity to see these women do things beyond just their amazing wrestling. I think there's a character work that we can get. There's backstory we can get. There's whole new levels of kayfabe and performance that we can see from them in addition to what we're going to get to see in ring. That for the live show is probably not present likely. So that makes it all the more intriguing to like subscribe and watch these episodes. But okay, let's chat the match for a minute because I feel like we've been talking about everything, but like there is a match here.
Yes, Miranda Alizé, Lainey Luck, the first Women's Wrestling Army match. Put that in the record books. I like that Alizé made a clear effort to be the heel pretty early in this match. You know, the crowd was a little like waiting to see how this goes, not having a strong predilection towards booing either one of them. But then she does a segment where she runs the ropes twice, gets them to cheer for her. Like she gives the hand up signal of like, come on, make some noise. Runs the ropes like she's going to do like a big flip or a big like kick or something, and then just stops and slaps Lainey across the back of the head instead.
Yes.
And from that point on, boos for her. Let's go Lainey chance. It's like perfect.
Yeah, it was great. It was super well done. Miranda is every bit the experienced heel of like 10 years plus. Like she knows what she's doing. And if we can say nothing else for Women's Wrestling Army, we can say that this seems to be a promotion that is going to trust that their women know what they're doing. So this was good storytelling. This was really good, just like nice fundamental storytelling. And Miranda really set that tone.
And we've seen, I mean, the past couple of years, an issue I had with ROH, not just in the women's division, but in all divisions, was always like, okay, there's like three heels on the entire roster. Everybody else is just like thrilled to be here, happy to shake hands, love wrestling, just want to go out there and do a fair job of this. And it's like, okay, like I appreciate that here or there, but I don't want every match to be that. I don't want there to be people I despise so that I'm more excited when the other person wins. Like I'm really cheering when like the good guy overcomes all the evil and all the shenanigans.
Yeah, you need light and dark. You need contrast. And you don't always have to play pure heel face dynamics to get it, but you do. But it's smart to have a match lead off with that. It is. Like, it's wrestling 101. It's good to, like, establish your brand and establish your wrestling promotion with a match that does all the fundamental storytelling competently and with two great performers.
And Miranda didn't cheat to win. She didn't hook the tights or anything like that. She might have poked the eyes at one point, I think.
I think there was an eye gouge, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, that's okay, too. You can have you definitely need different degrees of heels, right, as well. You should have, like, the sadistic monster who wants to destroy people. You have the person who's just, like, a bit of a dick. The wide range of bad guys. So she picks up the win with the drive-by. And then, again, post-match, she just gets a couple more kicks in on Lainey, basically booting her out of the ring. Get out of the ring. It's my time to celebrate. Simple but effective.
Yeah, simple but very effective. And I got to give a shout out to the drive-by because not every finish like this works for every opponent, but I feel like Miranda does a good job of making it look brutal, and I think Lady did a great job of selling how bad, like how selling the impact. Yeah, this is Drive-By is a really is a really solid finisher.
Obviously, Women's Wrestling Army is very much a spiritual sequel to the ROH Women's Division. We've talked about that at length. It's obvious they're not hiding that or like trying to pretend it's not.
They're not. It is transparent. This is the Maria Kanellis Bennett show. This is like ROH's Women's Division 2021 Part 2. Like this is a continuation of sorts. And I'm glad that they were upfront about that, because otherwise it's like I feel like they wouldn't be able to have the full conversation that they could have. It is completely okay by me that is present, because it was working. It was working in ROH. So why shouldn't there be a continuation? It doesn't have to be in ROH to be the continuation.
Yeah, Miranda Alizé went to the finals of the ROH Women's Championship Tournament, losing to NXT superstar Roxanne Perez. And now here she is, first match of Women's Wrestling Army, picks up a clean win, and the only woman to win a match in Women's Wrestling Army so far.
Yes, because, I don't want to skip ahead because there's a segment in between, but our second match, our main event of the episode, does not completely finish.
So we go from this backstage to what we can assume is going to be a recurring segment, What's the Dish with Lish. It is Alicia Edwards. At this point in time, she's joined by NWA Tag Team Champions The Hex, Allison Kay and Marty Bell. This was a bit of a swing and a miss for me.
I don't know what they were doing here. I want to know if anyone else watched this. I need feedback on this. I want to know if I'm the only one who expected them to beat up Lish with the chair. They bring out a folding chair. It's wrestling. You can't blame me.
So the conceit of the segment, I think, was just the three of them. Like we get some screen time for the Hex. You know, they're well known. They're in the NWA right now. Everybody knows Allison Kay, even though Lish still called her Sienna. So we get some screen time for them. I appreciate that. You know, it tells us like, hey, they're going to be competing on a future episode, presumably, probably in Tag Team Action. I like that they got some mic time. This seemed like just go out there and have some fun. It's just going to be a short like minute, maybe minute and a half. I didn't time it. Just just be likable, be personable, just be a little goofy. Do whatever you want, I'm guessing, is the direction, because the direction they chose was we're going to show a bunch of Instagram photos of Marty Bell. Marty Bell apparently likes to go on Instagram and stand on chairs and ledges and things and show off her ass. And then they decide to teach Alicia Edwards how to do this.
Yeah. It wasn't delivered. I am a big proponent of people standing on chairs and showing their butts. I think it's great. Please, everybody, you don't need to send me your pictures.
Make this just the whole segment every week.
Yeah, please, everybody, let's just have a butt segment. I'll be fine with it. I think this needed a tongue-in-cheek tone. I think this needed an added layer to work, because I appreciated the like girls chatting, hanging out, having fun moment, it doesn't work within the whole framework of the episode. And it just felt like a weird like minute and a half non sequitur. And it also felt like kind of like a first take, because it didn't really hold together. There wasn't a whole lot of like coherence to what they were saying about any of that. And again, because there was a chair present, and the chair, the like Women's Wrestling Army pink chair, which I think is part of the like brand. I felt like it was going to be this moment where like the Hex like proves them that they're going to be heels in Women's Wrestling Army, and they attack Lish. And I was actually a little disappointed that that didn't happen, because it would have been a cool way to establish them as like immediate threats on the scene. But you know, that's just me.
Yeah, I was thinking today, and I was like, maybe all this needed for me is a rebuttal, because I don't know who the Hex are going to be facing on a future episode of Women's Wrestling Army. I don't know if they're going to be on next week wrestling. If they are, I don't know who they're wrestling. I don't know if the take titles are on the line. So it's okay to have a lighthearted segment like this where they're just goofing off and just being like fun. maybe we follow that by then cutting to their challengers somewhere else. And they're not with an interviewer, and they're not in front of a women's wrestling army backdrop. They're hanging out in a stairwell, and they're clear heels. And they're just like, okay, enough fun and games. Like, you guys can stand around, take your Instagram photos, take whatever. And just cut, you know, a generic heel promo. I'm okay with that as a start. Just something like that to contrast.
It just needed, it needed something. It needed to be a little bit more tongue in cheek. It needed a period or exclamation point at the end. It needed counterpoint. It needed something. Cause otherwise it was just kind of like, pop, there it is. Cool. It felt like watching someone's like TikTok video. Like it was cool, but like it doesn't serve the overall narrative of an episode. That to me is just like a learning curve, or that's going to be just something that gets smoothed out and worked on throughout the run, however long Women's Wrestling Army is around. I think that that's the type of thing that they can seize on and take an opportunity from. It just, they didn't take an opportunity for storytelling here. And yeah, that's okay. I mean, I'm never going to complain about Allison Kay and Marty Bell and Alicia Edwards, like, you know, popping butts on television. That's very fun, but I just think it could have done more, could have been more useful.
So then we go to dueling interview segments ahead of our main event on this episode. So I think we're going to assume that this will be the trend going forward. Like every match we'll get to hear from both competitors before the match. Cause I like that. Like I said, Stardom does that and I'm good with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good way to establish the people that you're about to see in the ring. I have no complaints with that. And like you said, like, if this is a show that's geared towards people who are already kind of familiar with these women, then at the very least, anyone who's showing this to someone else can have like easy backstory to provide.
And we've seen plenty of times in the past wrestlers who like, oh, they play heel in this promotion, but they're also playing babyface in this promotion at the same time. So it contextualizes the wrestlers for us right here in Women's Wrestling Army.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good way to put it.
All right, so we got Big Swole, like you said, the most promo-y of the four. Maybe that WWE, you know, confidence. I don't know, was she WWE? She was in the Mayhem Classic, but then she was in AEW.
Yes.
She did spend some time in WWE. But regardless, like, just clearly, like, main, like, you know, big promotion seasoning on her, maybe, the difference maker there. Nice triangle glasses, looking very confident, very swole, very smooth. Very swole. And spoke a little bit about who Big Swole is and her matches with Trisha Dora, because they faced each other many times in many different promotions over the past couple of years. And then we got Trisha Dora. And I don't know what she said, because she was so radiant. I just could not. I wasn't listening.
I know.
I was like, good. Honestly, I was like, good God. I've seen Trisha Dora many times in many places, and she's always beautiful and she's always whatever. But in this instant, I was just like, holy shit.
She just is so, like, has such a pure, I don't even want to say, like, beauty feels condescending, but, like, she has this light and this beauty that transcends anything, and it comes through on screen incredible. I was watching this on my phone, guys. I was watching this on my iPhone, and it felt like she was just beaming out of my, like, dinky phone. And I just, it reminded me of what a shame it is that ROH it reminded me of a shame of everything that went down with ROH, because, like, you know, for a brief window, we would have Trisha Dora as, like, TV presence. And if AEW has any smarts at all when it comes to booking, they will understand that people like Trisha Dora and Willow Nightingale and women of that caliber shine and will shine into audiences no matter what screen they're on. And Trish did such a good job in this promo. I was listening. You know, it was some good backstory stuff. It was good referencing her time with ROH and her connections with Maria and giving Maria a lot of credit for, you know, being a part of this and just, like, you know, having the drive and continuing. Both Swole and Adora referenced their military backgrounds. That works really well into the framework of Women's Wrestling Army in general. Yeah. And that was really cool to have that as the main event of their first episode. I thought that was really that was pretty clever. So good to the booking on that. Yeah, I thought both these segments worked in just different ways. And it was cool to have Swole doing a more traditional, like, professional wrestling promo style mixed with Adora's more, like, kind of nakedly, like, personal version. And I think the counterpoints worked well.
They both spoke about representation, obviously. Trisha especially spoke about, like, watching Jacqueline when she was a kid as a wrestling fan with her brothers, and if they can deliver that to the next generation. And then we cut to photo of, like, intermission at the merch stand. We see noted Twitter wrestling superfan Jaychelle Nicole there talking with Trish and buying merch and stuff. That was really fun, really cute. And so, yeah, this is, in many ways, like, what a great main event for the first episode of this new promotion, right? Two women who have wrestled each other a bunch of times before, so that you know they're going to be good, you know they know each other, they work well together. Two black women. Trish Adora is queer, I believe. Bisexual at the very least. They're up and comers. They're Army and Air Force. Like, it, on so many different levels. What a perfect choice for a main event.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have really good ring chemistry.
Yeah. To the extent that, you know, hey, we can put them out there and just go to a time limit draw and people probably won't be that upset.
No, it was worth it for me. Honestly, watching this match, when it ended in time limit draw, I was actually really happy because, one, I was found myself rooting for both. I wanted to see more and more. It was sad that it was a 15-minute time and not 30 minutes, but that's what I'm talking about. I want series, and I want to see these two women in a series. And if they can give that to me, they will keep getting our money. Like, they will keep getting our money because I want to see those matches. I want a whole story. I want a 3-match series. I want a 5-match series. I want best 2 out of 3. I want it. And that match made me want that future.
As you said near the start of the show, small crowd, but very enthusiastic, very loud. And we hear that right at the start of this match, before they even really hook up, we get a both these women chant. And then we get another one near the end of the match as well. So that's the thing. It's not a packed arena, packed stadium, but everybody who is there is clearly women's wrestling fans, big fans of all the women on this card, really excited to see what they do. And I'm sure that'll translate to future tapings going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. If they want to continue this between these two women, they absolutely should. This should be an ongoing series. Because I will watch the second one. I will watch Swole Adora 3. I will watch it. I'm in and I want it. So please give it to us, Women's Wrestling Army.
Now, usually if you're going to do a time limit draw, I prefer if we are being warned that we're getting close to the end. You know, you get Bobby Cruz at ringside, or you can get, yeah, usually it's the ring announcer saying like 1 minute remaining, something like that, right? So we get a sense of that. But again, because this is the first episode of a first promotion, I'm okay with this because it's meant to catch us off guard.
Yes, and it did. It totally did. That mission accomplished.
Now, in a kayfabe sense, if I were either of these wrestlers or any of the other women in the locker room, I'd probably be going to Maria and Bobby and saying, going forward, maybe 20-minute time limits. Maybe 15 is too short. I mean, we went to a time limit draw in the second match. We don't want to go to a time limit draw every other match this promotion has. People don't want that. Maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think when you do something like this, you got to do it deliberately. You got to do it. You have to do it selectively. And it also, to me, it won't mean as much if this doesn't yield a series.
We can't help but draw comparisons, obviously, between Women's Wrestling Army and any other all-women promotion that's around, right? I think that's just going to be out of habit. You've already made references to WOW. I think of Shimmer. Shimmer was like the first big one for American wrestling, in the sense that they treated women like actual, like, wrestlers, unlike Glow. So... And on that very first Shimmer show back in 2005, we had Mercedes Martinez, Sarah Del Rey. They went to a 20-minute draw, and that established both of those women from the start. And sure enough, Sarah Del Rey would go on to become the first Shimmer champion. And so, you know, is this a conscious parallel? Is this just coincidental and I'm connecting dots that don't need to be there? I don't know. But if one of these women ends up going on to become our first WWA champion, then hey, you heard it here first.
I think the parallel is telling. I think that this is being made by people who have a deep understanding of women's wrestling, and not just in the sense that they, you know, they have an understanding of what professional wrestling is in general or how to pull off a show, but like also what the legacy of women's wrestling is right now, like where to draw from, what to pull from. If they are getting inspiration from promotions like Shimmer, even promotions like Stardom, like that's smart. Use what is out there. Pull from that. I don't think enough independent promotions, especially women's specific ones, do that. And I think Women's Wrestling Army is doing a clever thing of building their own idea and their own entity while possibly pulling from inspiration from other sources. And that's a good way to use what is already readily available to you.
So we close with the time limit draw, the women shake hands. That's our show. That's episode one. Now, there's nothing announced for episode two, which is a bit of a sticking point for me.
Yeah, that's what I referenced early on when we started talking about this, because my only concern here is that there's not enough told or promised or guaranteed to get someone to sign up right now.
On the social media right now, there's the tweet on Twitter about first episode is dropping this Sunday, 5 p.m., and it's got the web address and it's got all that information. But currently, as we record this a day later, there's still no mention on their Twitter about what matches are on the first episode. There's no mention that Trish and Big Swole have a match on this first episode, although the two of them in the ring is the cover image on the Women's Wrestling Army Twitter page. And there's one tweet that says, like, Lainey Locke and Miranda Alizé are kicking things off. But that's it. There's no, for people who haven't signed up or haven't watched these episodes yet, there's no real information about, like, hey, give us your $8 right now because this is what you get. And even for those of us who did give our money and who have subscribed now for a month, I don't know enough about what's to be expected. Is episode two going to drop next Sunday at 5 p.m.? Is it going to be another 45-minute episode? Are we going to get shorter episodes like Women of Honor Wednesdays or like half-hour episodes with one match? Are we going to fall back to that? Or is this just a supersized first episode? Are we going to get two episodes next week? Are the Hex going to be action next week? Are they defending the titles? Who else is, other than the profile cards? We know like Willow Nightingale is going to be here this season. Jody Threats appears in the opening credits. But I don't know what to expect. I don't know what's coming.
Yeah, and I mean, we bought in, you know, we're subscribed, so they have our money. But the question is, who else's money, like, who else is going to give their money with such scant information? And for a promotion like this to survive, it's got to have a following. And to have a following, people need to watch the product, and to watch the product, you have to pay for it. So it's like, you have to give people a reason to give you money.
That's the other tricky part, is we'd never heard of Brand Army before this. Brand Army is its own website. It's like a Patreon thing. Other people have, many other celebrities and people have accounts on there, but it's not a household name the way that Patreon is or some other sites. You can do paid, like, doesn't Poes and Eve have like a paid YouTube channel where you subscribe to their YouTube channel and get their content? So even that would be like more like accessible or quick understanding for newbies or people who are like, oh, what's this thing? Where do I watch this? So there's that, and
it needs time to get out there. The messaging needs to reach the people who are going to want to engage with this, but without being upfront about what to expect and when to expect it, it's a hard sell to make someone subscribe. You know, when you subscribe to any number of other services, you're getting a guarantee of a certain thing. And right now, Women's Wrestling Army, the only thing that you're guaranteed is access to one episode with your subscription.
$8 doesn't sound like much. You can't even get like a burger and fries for less than $8 these days. But I'm already giving like $10 a month to Spotify and Disney Plus and Netflix and Amazon Prime. And so at some point, you know, collectively, all these different streaming things add up. And then when, you know, you're looking at your budget for the month or you're looking at your bills, you have to start making cuts. And if I have to choose between Women's Wrestling Army and Spotify or Women's Wrestling Army and Disney Plus, you know, it's a big difference maker there. WWE Network, ROH Honor Club was charging like $10 a month, but they were giving you years of back content.
Yeah, exactly. It's not about the individual month. Like you said, that's not that much money for a month subscription. But if I am a person and I've got a fair amount of subscriptions like we both do, it just at the end of the month, I'm going to look at things and like, what have I not used? What can I spare? What can I save on? Because it does add up. And it's always an expense worth making if I know that I'm going to be utilizing it. Problem right now is I just don't know what I'm paying for entirely. Like I don't know the extent of what I'm paying for per month. They're going to have to work that out a little bit better.
I'm going to assume we've probably got 3 or 4 episodes of content coming out that first taping. It was only a one show taping, but I'm assuming they taped either 6 or 8 matches, right? 6 would have maybe been a bit thin of a card. Maybe they taped 8 matches.
Yeah. I imagine it was probably 8. Maybe there'll be 8 and then so we'll get four episodes.
So that's a month of content right there. If they do their next taping sometime in the next 3 weeks, then you could theoretically have an uninterrupted flow. We could get an hour episode every week going forward if they can maintain that taping schedule, one taping a month. So we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, uninterrupted flow doesn't matter if you're not charging for it, right? Like Enjoy is a good example. Enjoy gives away their shows for free on YouTube. And so there's a large gap between like each season, and the seasons are only like a couple episodes long, but you're also not paying for it. You can support Enjoy. You can give them money, but you don't have to pay to watch those shows. It's really just important when you are paying a monthly subscription fee to know what you're paying for.
Honestly, it's straight up being transparent here. It's a concern I have with our own Patreon at Grit and Glitter. If we go too long between bonus content, between a new episode of Women's Wrestling Entertainment or a new episode of Grit, Glitter and Glow, I worry. I'm like, oh no, are we going to lose subscribers for this? Are we letting them down because they gave us their hard-earned money this month and we haven't created any bonus content in a couple of weeks? That's a concern I have, and maybe we have. Maybe we've lost people in the past because we haven't. They felt like, oh, they weren't getting enough from their money, right?
I mean, it's always possible, but it's also really easy to fix, especially if you are a promotion that as you start to build like your recurring roster and you start getting more dates for your tapings, it's easy enough, or should be easy enough to fix that distribution in a way that is going to encourage subscriptions. We haven't seen it yet, but it's an easy enough problem that they can address. And if we're talking about that and not any flaws with the product itself, that's a good thing, right? They have a product worth watching. I enjoyed this first episode tremendously.
Yeah, both the matches were solid. I love literally all the women who appeared on this show. I'm a fan of all of these wrestlers already, and I'm sure I'll be even more of a fan getting to see them wrestle more here. I loved the pre-match promos. I loved that we got mic time, that we got backstage time. You know, we weren't the biggest fans of that segment with Lish, but I like that something existed. It wasn't just match, match, match. That's the show.
Yeah, I'm glad to have it regardless of, you know, the segment itself. I'm just glad to have that segment featured. I hope we get more things like that. I hope we get more like behind the scenes things and more like fun promos and segments and stuff, because they have the freedom to do that here. And so I have no complaints with the episode. If our main walk away critique is they need to fix this distribution or the messaging about their distribution so that people, you know, more people are encouraged to subscribe, that's really only a testament to the quality of the product itself, because we want more eyes on it. It deserves more attention.
All right, well, we will continue to be monitoring Women's Wrestling Army going forward. Of course, I can't say that we're going to do another hour next week on episode 2, but I'm sure we'll be talking about it on our Twitter in different spaces, and I do intend to keep trying to do reports for the Pro Wrestling Torch if you want to read my written thoughts about these episodes going forward. As always, you can find find us on Twitter or Instagram at Great Glitter Pod. And if you got $5-$10 to spare, patreon.com/gritglitterpod. We create bonus content like weekly newsletters, podcasts like Grit, Glitter, and Glow, Women's Wrestling Entertainment, covering the history of women in WWE, rewatching the Netflix series Glow, all sorts of things like that. Episode 3 just dropped this past Saturday, actually, featuring Emily and Valerie Quartz.
That's right. You get to hear me and Val Quartz at least once a month talk about the Netflix series Glow. While we reference the original series, we're talking about the Netflix series. So we're running episode by episode. The most recent one is about episodes 3 and 4. So we cover the introduction of Bash Howard. We talk about Carmen and her wrestling family legacy and a host of other things. Really join us over there. It's a lot of fun. It's great to get to talk about something tangentially related to wrestling while also diving into a lot of cool background about the original Glow series, what was happening in women's wrestling back in 2016, 2017 when the Netflix's Glow premiered, etc. So we're having a good time with that. Join us on Patreon. And when you do, just remember, you're not just giving me and Harley money so that we can continue our subscriptions to Women's Wrestling Army. You are giving us money so that this show can help sponsor the wrestling that you love. Are you enjoying, did you enjoy Wrestling's Renegade? Well, we were a major sponsor of this season. We've also a major sponsor of Wrestlers Lab's new season, Showabunga. So please, if you have a couple dollars to spare each month, give it to us. We'll give you great content in return, and we put that money right back into the independent wrestling ecosystem.
And on that note, Showabunga, Wrestlers Lab new show, premieres tomorrow night on IWTV. We personally sponsored Big Swole versus Mr. Grimm because we are Swole here at Grit and Glitter.
We are fans of the Swole.
That show also features Willow Nightingale versus Ziggy Hayem, Erica Lee versus Bonesaw Brooks, plenty of women who've been on the show who we love watching them fight each other. It seems weird, you know? Hey, here's all these people we love. Let's see them punch each other in the face.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see Erica Lee versus Bonesaw because after talking to Bonesaw, Bonesaw Brooks made a lot of really great points about Erica Lee's strength in comparison to her own and the things that they both could deliver in ring. If you haven't checked out that episode with our interview, go back a couple of weeks in our feed and you'll find it. It's a great interview with a wrestler who just returned to the ring in 2021. And here we'll get to see her this coming night on Showabunga. So super excited to see these matches and to see the rest of this Wrestlers Lab season.
Another reason why maybe you might want to support us on Patreon is if you support at the $10 tier once a year on your birthday, you can tell us what to do. You can come to us and say, I think you should do a whole episode talking about X. And that's what Patreon supporter Alex Brendan did. Alex's birthday is coming up next week, and they requested that we dedicate next week's episode entirely to the non-binary nightmare, Max the Impaler. Future WWA performer, I'm guessing, I'm thinking.
I could see that, absolutely, you know, for obvious reasons. We'll be talking about Max's awesome career, their unique gimmick and style, where they came from and where they're going. So if you want to be like Alex and have some amazing ideas and share them with us, you can do so by subscribing to our Patreon at the $10 level. And then once a year, you will have complete creative control of what we cover on this podcast. Alex has had some good ideas in the past, and we're really thrilled to cover Maxi and Hiller for them this coming week.
Yeah, you want us to do a whole episode on the history of Victoria Day? Not even talk about wrestling at all? Give us your money and we'll do whatever you want. We'll dance for you.
Yeah. Oh, hey, quick shout out too to the friends over at Proletariat Lariat who had me on the show last week. You can find that podcast in wherever you get your podcasts. But I was thrilled to join the folks over there, Zach and crew, to talk about intergender wrestling and enjoy Wrestling's Renegade. So if you like me or barely tolerate me, but you like them, go check out Proletariat Lariat. They release episodes. I'm not sure if they release them every week or every other week, but they do a lot of great coverage over there covering WWE, AEW, and a lot of independents as well. So it was fun to join that crew. And that just dropped today. Or it just dropped yesterday if you're listening to this episode on Tuesday, which you are, because that's when it's awesome.